Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to have you here today as we gather for worship on this first Sunday in November, which also is All Saints Sunday. As we gather today, it's good to have you here. We'll be celebrating the Lord's Supper as part of the service later during the service today. It's good to have you here. If you are visiting here, we extend a special welcome to you. If it is your first time here, we invite you to take a welcome card from the pew rack in front of you. We ask that you fill the card out and place it in the offering plate so that we may know who's been worshiping with us. I'd like to invite all of you to stay for a few moments after the service for a time of refreshment and fellowship in our Judson Chapel, which is the room directly behind the sanctuary. You'll note on the back page of the bulletin the calendar for this week, and I'm not going to read it to you, but just call your attention to it. Do want to highlight that we will be providing the monthly worship service at Glen Ridge Nursing Home on Tuesday. And Saturday morning, the Judson Women Toy Harvest will be at First Baptist Salem. There is a box in Judson Chapel for donations of toys. If you're interested in attending and would need a ride, please talk to Marilyn Glover. Registration is from 8:30 to 9 next Saturday. Cost is $6. And brunch starts at 9. It's provided by the First Baptist Salem. So again, if you would like to attend that and need transportation, please check with Marilyn Glover. Also, you will note that next Sunday, we are having a combined worship service, an international service, with the Casa de Fe Alabanza and Global Ark Baptist Churches, the two congregations that share space in our buildings. And we're going to have a trilingual service. The sermon will be in English. And we'll be singing and praying in various languages, and just encourage you to come. There will be an international lunch following that, free of charge, and that will be in our Judson Chapel. And so we do encourage you to come next Sunday for that. Also, there is a sign-up sheet in Judson Chapel for greeters and coffee hour hosts, and no one else has signed up for the rest of November. They're all vacant. So if you are willing to be a greeter or a coffee hour host one of the coming Sundays, I do encourage you to sign up today during coffee hour. At this time, I invite you to turn in the blue hymnal to selection number 619 for our responsive call to worship. We'll be reading from Psalm 73 as we prepare our hearts and our minds for worship. Let us read responsively from God's holy word. O Lord, I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand.
You guide me.
Whom have I in heaven but you?
And earth has nothing I desire besides you.
My flesh and my heart may fail,
but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. It is good to be near God.
Our opening hymn this morning is a classic for All Saints Sunday, For All the Saints, number 685. We'll be singing verses 1, 2, and 3 only. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together.
Amen.
Let us pray. O God of all people, of all times, we gather in your house seeking your presence in our time of worship. On this All Saints Sunday, we remember those who have finished the race and have received their reward. You were a constant companion and source of strength for them. We also need your guiding presence as we continue our journey here on earth. God, we pray that your mighty presence will be felt by all who are gathered here this morning, as we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses of the faithful. We ask this in the name of Jesus and now pray as he taught, praying aloud together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Be seated. And at this time, the teacher, are you teaching today, Karen? Okay, Mrs. Workman is teaching today, so a teacher and students may go to Sunday school. We have an opportunity now to share celebrations and concerns with our church family members as we go to prayer this morning. We want to continue to remember Irene Hoffman. Irene had surgery on her back last Monday and is doing very well. No, she's not in the choir today. Can't drive yet, and just feels, you know, she wants to be at home for a few more days. But the pain is gone in her leg, so the surgery was successful. I spoke to her the next night, and she said, the pain's all gone. Woke up from surgery, and the pain was gone. Surgical pain, but even that is pretty much gone, too, now. So she's very thankful, and we are, too, and just praise God for that. And keep Irene in prayer today. We want to continue to keep May Upperman in prayer as well, as May continues to be at home. And we want to keep our nation in prayer today as we are, you know, in the election process. And we will have a new president-elect hopefully by Tuesday evening. Hopefully it's not going to be weeks like it was a few years ago, that we will have know who our next president will be. But also we want to be in prayer for the Anderson family today. Nancy Anderson has been in the nursing home for about 10 years, we figured, and she's dying right now, and could be any time now in the next few hours to another day, maybe. But we want to keep Deborah and David, her children, they're here, grandchildren are here, and just keep the family in prayer today. As they're saying their goodbyes to Nancy, and as they are going, you know, bidding her well, and, you know, wishing her, you know, all the joy that she will be receiving. But life is in cycles, and while we're sad that Nancy is dying, we have the newest, youngest member of our church family here today. Amelia is here today, and I heard she was coming, and so we celebrate, you know, with Joe and Joy and Amelia, and first time in church, and we hope many more times that she'll be coming and able to worship with us. And it's a real celebration today. So we have, you know, mixture today of celebrations and concerns, but it's a good time because we can bring all of those, our joys and our sorrows, to God. Do you have any concerns or celebrations you'd like to share with the church family this morning as we go to prayer? Sharon and I both have dental issues this week, so we want prayers for the dental people that we're caring for us. And I think you're a little more phobic. I'm not as phobic, but just. I want you to pray for your dentist, and we'll know what to do best, and no pain for you, and no pain, and but we want to keep you in prayer. Anyone else have a prayer request today? Yes, Abraham, the leader in Abraham's village in Cameroon, and he's not, he's staying stuck there, And so there's a lot of unrest and killings taking place. So we hear about those things, but it becomes personal. We know somebody who is involved there and who has relatives there. So we want to lift that village up today. Anyone else have a prayer request? If not, then let's go to God. You know, lifting up some of these requests or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you for hearing our private and personal petitions. We pray now that you would also receive our corporate prayers. Lord, this day, as a body of Christ, we lift up our nation. We pledge allegiance to you, Almighty God. To you belong all realms and all power and all glory. Yet you delegate the power of temporal leadership to your creatures. In this nation, you have given us the freedom to establish our own government, to oversee the welfare of our land and the many people it supports. Today we pray for those whom we have chosen and those whom we will choose to lead our country. We know that it's not easy for them to lead such a diverse people whose many wants cannot all be satisfied. It's not easy to discern which actions will produce the greater good for the greatest number. It's not easy to withstand the huge personal temptations that come with power. It is not easy to bear the extraordinary pressures in the complex, conniving world of politics. Lord, we pray that you would assist our elected leaders with stamina, toughness, and the integrity to fight for what is right and honorable in your sight. Grant our nation a succession of lawmakers and executives who have learned how to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly before you. Protect them from losing their wits, their nerve, or their souls in the heady atmosphere of national and international affairs, so that we, the people, may flourish in a land blessed with liberty, peace, and justice. Help us as citizens to bear our share of the burden of democratic government. Make us love peace and fair dealing. Moderate our political passions with calmness and self-control. Allow us to see situations from the point of view of others, that we may discern what is the common good. And Lord, we pray that you would equip all civil servants with sound understanding, far-sighted planning, and personal integrity. Enable them to rise above petty power games, that through their wise leadership, the welfare of our people may be assured and peace maintained at home and among the nations of the world. We ask this in the name of Jesus the Christ, our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. As I mentioned earlier, on this first Sunday of the month, we will be celebrating the Lord's Supper together later in the service. And as part of that celebration, we receive a second offering. But this first offering that we are about to receive is our regular morning offering that goes to support the ongoing ministry and mission of this congregation. At this time, the ushers will receive your tithes and your gifts. Let us pray. Lord God, as we present these tithes and these gifts to you, we ask that you would bless them and bless us as we seek to follow Jesus, following in his footsteps. Help us to see his footprints so that we may go to others and share the good news of his love. We ask this in his name. Amen. You may be seated, and I invite you to turn in the bulletin to page 3 for our responsive scripture this morning. We'll be reading Psalm 146 responsively, and let us read from God's holy word together. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, my soul. Don't put your trust in human leaders. No human being can save you. Happy are those who have the God of Jacob to help them and who depend on the Lord their God. He always keeps his promises. He judges in favor of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. He lifts those who have fallen. He loves his righteous people. The Lord is King forever. May God bless the reading and hearing and application of God's holy word today, and let us pray together. Lord, as we have read these ancient words together, we do offer you all the praise and all the glory. And Lord, we realize that this week we have some major decisions to make about our earthly leaders. And Lord, we do pray for wisdom in that process. Lord, we just pray that today, that our being together, hearing from your word, that we may be strengthened and have courage and encouragement to leave this place and to be more faithful in our discipleship. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. The cover of this week's Time magazine proclaims, "The end is near," with images of the Democratic and Republican candidates for president. This tongue-in-cheek statement can be interpreted several ways, but however we read the message, there will be a major change taking place as a result of actions taken this week. The almost 18-month U.S. presidential campaign ends this Tuesday, Election Day. The airwaves, phone lines, and mailboxes have been saturated with political ads promoting one candidate while denigrating others. In addition, there have been spots focusing on the ballot questions that residents of Massachusetts are being asked to vote on. Imagine what our country could look like if all the billions of dollars that has been spent on ads was instead used to support the budget, provide extra programs for those in need, or reduce the deficit. We wouldn't be having so many arguments about what needs to be done if we had all that money had been channeled that way. But it's important for us to be registered, and it's important for all registered voters to participate in the process of electing our next leader. And while I am not about to recommend one candidate or one position on any ballot question, I believe it is important for us to focus on our faith and how it shapes the choices and decisions that we make. After this year's particularly contentious campaign, many voters reported last week that they feel disgusted and repulsed. Some have even decided to not vote this year. But regardless of what happens on Election Day, the earth will keep turning. The seasons will change. Babies will be born, and God will remain in control of his complex and often contentious creation. Because it is so important that we maintain a proper perspective as Christians during this election season, I want to share five thoughts for this Tuesday election day based on this morning's scripture. First thought is, only God deserves praise. Psalm 146 begins with the command, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God all my life." In our society today, we often praise people for taking political stands that we agree with or making speeches that move us. But do such leaders really deserve our praise? Praise is traditionally reserved for a god, a ruler, or a hero. And most politicians in our American democracy do not fit these categories. Certainly, we should support our candidates and work with them to advance the causes that are important to us. But lavish admiration should be reserved for God alone. Psalm 146 that we read together this morning is a celebration of the eternal reign of God, a leadership position that has no term limits. To praise God is to give credit where credit is due. The Lord, who is our creator, redeemer, and sustainer. When we offer praise, we are saying that God is God, and we are not. Neither is Hillary Clinton, nor Donald Trump, nor any other person running for political office. And this leads us to the second thought, to put your trust in something eternal. This morning we read the warning, do not put your trust in human leaders. No human being can save you. When they die, they return to the dust. On that day, their plans come to an end. We take a chance when we rely on political leaders to help us because they are as flawed and weak, biased, transitory, and limited as any human beings on earth. It does not matter what political party a person belongs to. Everyone has weaknesses and limitations, from the far left to the radical right, across the political spectrum. The psalm warns us against putting our trust in mortals, because every one of us is made of dust, and to dust we shall return. Our complete faith should be directed toward the one eternal God, maker of heaven and earth. And our third thought for this Tuesday is, don't expect a candidate to make you happy. With all the energy that goes into the presidential campaign, we can certainly forgive voters for wanting their favorite candidate to bring them joy and satisfaction. And this year, I'm not hearing a lot of that. I'm hearing more of what's the least of the worst. But such an expectation of having the new candidate, the president-elect, to be this perfect person is truly unrealistic and often a recipe for disappointment. Whether the victor is a Republican or a Democrat or a representative of some other party, he or she is going to let down a large number of supporters. We have seen this in the past and will undoubtedly witness it in the future. And there's another path to take, unreserved confidence in God. For we read in the psalm, happy are those who have the God of Jacob to help them and who depend on the Lord their God, the creator of heaven, earth, and sea, and all that is in them. It's better for us to look for happiness in a relationship with the Lord, the one who made heaven and earth and who is eternally faithful. God is the source of every good and perfect gift and is a Lord who always keeps his promises. With God, we have a leader who can be trusted to provide for us and who never, ever flip-flops. Even more importantly, when we focus on our relationship with God, we find happiness within ourselves. I haven't heard a lot of happiness in the last year and a half. I've heard a lot of negativity. We ground ourselves in the great commandment of Jesus to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbors as yourself. When we do this, we're not looking for a politician to bring us joy and satisfaction, but instead are finding it deep within our relationship with God and with the people around us. Fourth thought for this Tuesday is to vote the Lord's values. In this year's election, we see the leading candidates having major flaws when it comes to honesty, judgment, and how they view people. Many folks question whether either is qualified for the position. We find ourselves searching our own values to evaluate if we can consciously vote for someone with values that do not match ours, and questioning who would be the best leader for our nation. In this process, we need to consider the values that should shape a Christian voter today. For as we read in Psalm 146, God is the one who keeps his promises. He judges in favor of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free and gives sight to the blind. These are God's values, according to this psalm. And while Christians will certainly debate the ways that our society can address these concerns. There should be no disagreement about their priority to God. When we enter the voting booth, and some of us may have already voted, but a majority have not. When we enter the voting booth, we need to vote for the candidate who is best aligned with God's priorities. Justice for the oppressed, which means fair treatment for those who have been mistreated, shoved aside, or ignored. Food for the hungry. Access to nourishment in developing countries and in American inner cities and rural settings. Freedom for prisoners, both spiritual liberation while incarcerated and work opportunities after being released. And opening the eyes of the blind. Not only physical healing, but new visions of a better future for us all. These are the values that God has according to Psalm 146. And they undergird what the psalm tells us about God. For God lifts up those who have fallen. The Lord loves the righteous people. The Lord protects the strangers. He helps the orphans and widows, but takes the wicked to their ruin. In every time and place, God lifts up the burdened and loves those who are in a right relationship with him. God has special concern for the strangers in our midst and wants to take care of the orphans and the widows, those who have no way to provide for themselves. Once again, there are going to be honest disagreements about how best to meet these needs. But the needs themselves are indisputable. Justice, generosity, concern for others, righteousness. These are God's values. And the fifth and final thought to share today is to take the long view. If you are joyful on election night, don't get overly elated. And if you're disappointed when the election is over, don't get too depressed. The next presidential campaign will begin before we know it, and the political pendulum will begin to swing the other direction. As Christians, the most important leader in our lives is Almighty God. And Psalm 146 reminds us that the Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. When we give praise to God, we are joining a community of faithful people who are linked together across the generations. The Christian church has seen countless political victories and defeats, as well as numerous times of national celebration and heartache. Election days may be divisive and difficult, but they do not prevent us from looking up to God together and taking the long view of human history. If your candidate wins, praise the Lord. If your candidate loses, praise the Lord. If you are excited about the next 4 years, praise the Lord. And if you're worried about what will happen next, praise the Lord. There is nothing that can happen on election day that should shift our focus away from giving praise to the God who has created us, redeemed us, and sustained us throughout the course of our lives. The Apostle Paul knew what it was like to live by faith in the middle of political changes, joys, sorrows, triumphs, and setbacks. He described himself to his colleagues as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making riches, and having nothing, yet possessing everything. Paul felt this way because he took the long view and praised God in good times and in difficult times. And so can we. Let's pray together. Lord, we do praise you today. And Lord, we pray that we may continue praising you in the election process as we go into the voting booth that we may praise you and consider your values, Lord, as we mark our balance, that we may make a conscious effort to select the person who is best suited according to your values to lead our country. Lord, it is a difficult and daunting decision we must make. We pray for your Spirit to guide us in that process. Lord, we know that you have allowed us to have human leaders, but that we are to look beyond them to you to offer praise and glory. Lord, now we just thank you for your Son, Jesus, who came as a leader to show us a new way. Lord, we pray that we may always follow him in all the decisions that we make. We ask all of this in his name. Amen. The hymn of preparation for communion today is "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus," number 468. We'll be singing verses 1 and 2 only. You may be seated.
As previously mentioned, on Communion Sunday, we receive two offerings. This second offering that we are about to receive is used by the deacons to meet special requests that are not provided for in our regular budget. In addition to worship supplies, the diaconate is able to meet these needs of individuals and groups within our church, as well as those in our local community and around the world. The deacons will now receive your gifts to the communion offering. Please join me in reading our church covenant. Having been led, as we believe, by the Spirit of God to receive Jesus the Christ as our Savior and Lord, we do now solemnly and joyfully covenant with each other to walk together with him in Christian love. We do therefore pray that we might watch over one another with Christian love, but remembering each other in prayer and aiding each other in crisis and distress, that we will regularly assemble for the public worship of God in the observance of the ordinances of the church, that we will maintain daily family and personal devotions in our home, provide for the religious training of our children and those under our care for the service of Christ and His people, that we will seek divine aid to enable us to affirm love, justice, and the unity of people, and to work as faithful disciples of the Christ, that we cheerfully contribute property according as God has prospered us for the maintenance of faithful and evangelical ministry among us, for the relief of the distressed, and for spreading the gospel to all nations, and that we will strive to live to the glory of God, who has given us life and who has called us to serve Him and our sisters and brothers in the name of His Son.
Jesus is the host of our table. And as the host, Jesus invites each one of us with these words. Do you love me? Do you believe that I came to earth, lived among you, died on the cross, paying the price for your sins, was buried, rose again, and ascended to heaven, and in preparing a place for you for all eternity? And if we are able to say, yes, Lord, I believe, then Jesus says, come, eat and drink with me. You do not have to be a member of this local congregation in order to receive the elements today, for Jesus invites all believers to the table. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for inviting us to your table. We know that we have not earned a seat here, that we know that we have made mistakes and done things that have displeased you and gone against your will. Now, Lord, in these moments, we confess to you in silence those sins that we are aware of and pray for your forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our confessions. We do pray that you would forgive us of our sins, cleanse our hearts, purify us, prepare us now to eat and drink with you. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. As Jesus was still on this earth, the last night that he and his disciples were together, they were celebrating a Passover meal, a Seder, celebrating the deliverance of the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. And as part of that meal was the bread, and Jesus took the bread and gave thanks to God for the bread, and began breaking it and telling his disciples new words that they were not expecting to hear. He was saying that this bread represents my body that's broken for each of you. Ministering in his name, we share with you the broken bread. Broken bread. representing Christ's broken body offered on the cross for us. The meal in the upper room continued, and Jesus took the cup and again gave thanks to God for the cup and began passing it among his disciples, encouraging them to drink from it, saying, "This cup is a new covenant, a new agreement between God and humans that's sealed with my blood. As often as you drink it, remember me." Ministering in his name, we share with you the cup. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed on the cross, so that we might have life, life abundant, life eternal. Let us drink in memory of him. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you willingly went to the cross, allowing your body to be broken, your blood to be shed for us. Lord, we pray that we might live each day with grateful hearts, and live lives that demonstrate our gratitude. We ask this in your most precious name. Amen. Scripture tells us the disciples and Jesus sang a hymn and then went out. Our closing hymn today is number 551. I can give you the number. Yeah, verse 1. Once to every man and nation. We'll sing verse 1 only, and please stand if you're able. Choose the Lord this day and always. Serve the Lord in this moment and the next. Love the Lord in your heart and with all your strength. Praise the Lord in your gladness and in your sadness. Be at peace in the Lord, now and forever. Amen.